Book 7, Chapter 5, How David Brought Under the Philistines, and the Moabites, and the kings of Sophene, and of Damascus, and of the Syrians, as also the Edomians, in war, and how he made a league with the king of Hamath, and was mindful of the friendship that Jonathan, the son of Saul, had borne him. A little while after this, he considered that he ought to make war against the Philistines, and not to see any idleness or laziness permitted in his management, that so it might prove, as God had foretold to him, that when he had overthrown his enemies, he should leave his posterity to reign in peace afterward. So he called together his army again, and when he had charged them to be ready and prepared for war, and when he thought that all things in his army were in a good state, he removed from Jerusalem and came against the Philistines. And when he had overcome them in battle, and had cut off a great part of their country, and had adjoined it to the country of the Hebrews, he transferred the war to the Moabites. And when he had overcome two parts of their army in battle, he took the remaining part captive, and imposed tribute upon them to be paid annually. He then made war against Iadadezer, the son of Rehob, king of Sophene. And when he had joined battle with him at the river Euphrates, he destroyed 20,000 of his footmen, and about 7,000 of his horsemen. He also took 1,000 of his chariots, and destroyed the greatest part of them, and ordered that no more than 100 should be kept. Now when Hadad, king of Damascus and of Syria, heard that David fought against Hadadezer, who was his friend, he came to his assistance with a powerful army, in hopes to rescue him. And when he joined battle with David at the river Euphrates, he failed of his purpose, and lost in the battle a great number of his soldiers. For there were slain in the army of Hadad 20,000, and all the rest fled. Nicolens, also of Damascus, makes mention of this king in the fourth book of his histories, where he speaks thus: A great while after these things had happened, there was one of that country whose name was Hadad, who was become very potent. He reigned over Damascus, and the other parts of Syria, excepting Phoenicia. He made war against David, the king of Judea, and tried his fortune in many battles, and particularly in the last battle at Euphrates, whereupon he was beaten. He seems to have been the most excellent of all the kings in strength and manhood. Nay, besides this, he says of his posterity that they succeeded one another in his kingdom and in his name, where thus he speaks: When Hadad was dead, his posterity reigned for 10 generations, each of his successors receiving from his father that his dominion, and this his name, as did the Ptolemies in Egypt. But the third was the most powerful of them all, and was willing to avenge the defeat his forefather had received. So he made an expedition against the Jews, and laid waste the city which is now called Samaria. Nor did he err from the truth, for this is that Hadad who made the expedition against Samaria in the reign of Ahab, king of Israel, concerning whom we shall speak in due place hereafter. Now when David had made an expedition against Damascus and the other parts of Syria, and had brought it all into subjection, and had placed garrisons in the country, and appointed that they should pay tribute, he returned home. He also dedicated to God at Jerusalem the golden quivers, the entire armor which the guards of Hadad used to wear, which Shishak, the king of Egypt, took away when he fought with David's grandson, Rehoboam, with a great deal of other wealth which he carried out of Jerusalem. However, these things will be explained in their proper places hereafter. Now as for the king of the Hebrews, he was assisted by God, who gave him great successes in his wars, and he made all expedition against the best cities of Hadadezer, Betah, and Machen. So he took them by force, and laid them waste. Therein was found a very great quantity of gold and silver, besides that sort of brass which is said to be more valuable than gold, of which brass Solomon made that large vessel which is called the Brazen Sea, and those most curious lavers, when he built the temple for God. But when the king of Hamath was informed of the ill success of Hadadezer, and had heard of the ruin of his army, he was afraid on his own account, and resolved to make a league of friendship and fidelity with David before he should come against him. So he sent to him his son Joram, and professed that he owed him thanks for fighting against Hadadezer, who was his enemy, and made a league with him of mutual assistance and friendship. He also sent him presents, vessels of ancient workmanship, both of gold and of silver and of brass. So when David had made this league of mutual assistance with Toi, for that was the name of the king of Hamath, and received the presents he sent him, he dismissed his son with that respect which was due on both sides. But then David brought those presents that were sent by him, and also the rest of the gold and the silver which he had taken from the cities that he had conquered, and dedicated them to God. Nor did God give victory and success to him only when he went to battle himself and led his own army, but he gave victory to Abishai, the brother of Joab, general of his forces, over the Idumeans, and by him to David, when he sent him with an army into Idumea, for Abishai destroyed 18,000 of them in the battle, whereupon the king of Israel placed garrisons throughout all Idumea, and received the tribute of the country, and of every head among them. Now David was in his nature just, and made his determination with regard to truth. He had for the general of his whole army Joab, and he made Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahilud, recorder. He also appointed Zadok, of the family of Phinehas, to be the high priest, together with Abiathar, for he was his friend. He also made Seasan the scribe, and committed the command over the guards of his body to Benahai, the son of Jehoiada. His elder sons were near his body, and had the care of it also. He also called to mind the covenants and the oaths he made with Jonathan, the son of Saul, and the friendship and affection Jonathan had for him. For besides all the rest of his excellent qualities with which he was endowed, he was also exceeding mindful of such as had at other times bestowed benefits upon him. He therefore gave order that inquiry should be made, whether any of Jonathan's lineage were living, to whom he might make return of that familiar acquaintance which Jonathan had had with him, and for which he was still debtor. And when one of Saul's freedmen was brought to him, who was acquainted with those of his family who were still living, he asked him whether he could tell him of any one belonging to Jonathan that was now alive, and capable of a requital of the benefits which he had received from Jonathan. And he said that a son of his was remaining, whose name was Mephibosheth, but that he was lame of his feet, for that when his nurse heard that the father and grandfather of the child were fallen in the battle, she snatched him away and fled, and let him fall from her shoulders, and his feet were lamed. So when he had learned where and by whom he was brought up, he sent messengers to Machir, to the city of Lodabar, for with him was the son of Jonathan brought up, and sent for him to come to him. So when Mephibosheth came to the king, he fell on his face and worshipped him. But David encouraged him, bade him be of good cheer, and expect better times. So he gave him his father's house, and all the estates which his grandfather Saul was in possession of, and bade him come and diet with him at his own table, and never to be absent one day from that table. And when the youth had worshipped him on account of his words and gifts given to him, he called for Ziba, and told him that he had given the youth his father's house, and all Saul's estates. He also ordered that Ziba should cultivate his land, and take care of it, and bring him the profits of all to Jerusalem. Accordingly David brought him to his table every day, and bestowed upon the youth Ziba and his sons, who were 15 in number, and his servants, who were in number 20. When the king had made these appointments, and Ziba had worshipped him, and promised to do all he had bidden him, he went his way, so that this son of Jonathan dwelt at Jerusalem, and dieted at the king's table, and had the same care that a son might claim taken of him. He also had himself a son, who he named Micah.